Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Timmons Podcast. I'm your host, Timmons, and this is my podcast, Interesting Conversations with Cool People. And man, do I have a cool conversation, an interesting conversation today. But first, before we get to that, let's get to some business. So, yes, I've got a proposition for my listeners. Yo, I figured out, actually, after talking to today's guest, this helped. But I've been thinking about what ways can I do to have, what can I do to improve the podcast? And I've identified that two additional cameras would be helpful. So one on my guest's face, one on my face, and the wide view that I'm doing currently on the YouTube channel. So be easy to clip stuff, make it really professional, all that fun stuff. AI is super great. And I've done some research into some editing that will just, you know, I can do all that without having to really do much more. It'll just improve the quality of my podcast. Currently, I'm filming everything I do on my iPhone. So I thought maybe I'd open it up to you guys. I said, hey, does anyone in my audience have an extra iPhone, an old iPhone laying around? If so, please hit me up. And here's the proposition. I'm going to give you 10 free shout outs. Well, they're not free because you're giving me your iPhone for the shout outs. So it'd be something like a trade. So whatever you want to say in this segment at the start of the podcast, I will shout it out. It could be 10 things, the same thing, all 10 episodes, or it could be, you know, a different thing each episode. I don't care. It's about a $200 value, and I feel like that's fair for an iPhone. So hit me up if you have an iPhone just chilling. If you want to see the podcast progress and you have something you want to let the people know who listen to this podcast, you want them to know something, shoot me a message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, timmonspodcast@gmail.com. All that information is down below in the show notes, and I would love to do a little trade and improve the video quality, the video editing of this podcast. So that being said, if you are watching on YouTube, this is another reason why I need a couple different cameras. My video quit. We paused and did some stuff, then came back. And when I restarted the video, that file isn't working on my phone, and so I'm not able to upload that to YouTube. So sorry about that. Again, having two or three more cameras would make this a lot easier. Some of that stuff wouldn't happen as much. So cool. Yes, please hit me up if you have an iPhone. Holler at me, an old iPhone, and I'd love to do a little trade. So also, today's episode is sponsored by Quiet River Massage and Revival, located in Syracuse, Indiana. Jasmine does 90-60 30-minute massages. She does hot rocks, essential oils. She's awesome. She's at Rich Beauty Supply in Syracuse, Indiana, and you can find her quiet_river_massage on Instagram. And her website's going to be linked below in both YouTube and any podcast system you're using. You can go below. You can hit the link to it and go book a massage. Definitely book a massage. Follow her on Instagram. And if you have had a massage by her, could you please leave her a review? That helps her get out her information to others who are looking up, you know, what's the best massage in Syracuse, Indiana, or Goshen. Hit her reviews up. That would be much appreciated. So cool. Yes, today's guest, I got to sit down with Henrique. He is awesome. We talked about the Goshen City Football Club. Guys, what a cool conversation. What a cool guy. It's impressive to see just something that comes from a thought to where, what they've done and how they've done it. I really enjoyed chatting with him, but okay, enough of me talking about this. Let's get to the conversation. See you guys on the next podcast. And we're live. Henrique, dude, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Cheers. Don't forget. Hey, yep. There you go. Bro, welcome. So first off, I mean, yeah, tell people who you are, and let's start with that.
Yeah, my name is Henrique, or Henry. You can call me Henrique, or Henry. Or if you're Portuguese, you can say Henrique. Henrique in Espanol. So there are so many variations of my name, so don't even worry about it. You can call me Henry.
Henry, okay.
That's a good way to go. But yeah, my name is Henrique. I come from Brazil. I grew up in Brazil, and I graduated from Goshen College 22, and I started my semi-professional soccer team a year and a half ago. And yeah, Goshen City FC.
Goshen City FC, yeah. We met at church, so we both had... we both have a young one in our life. And we did a baby dedication at church. And so we stood next to each other.
We did.
And so then the next week, I saw you at church and we started talking and you tell me about, I'm like, all right, so what do you do for work? And you've rattled off three different things. I was like, dang, bro. And a child, like, holy cow. So, that was very interesting. So I was like, okay, we need to get you. And then I started seeing stuff about, I don't know if it's just social media, but I started seeing stuff about the football club, the, you know, and I think Good for Goshen did something about it. And I was like, all right, well, I just talked to him. I need to get him on a podcast, bro. So, yeah, one of the things you told me, this is not about any of the things that we just talked about, but that was your first time out at church was the baby dedication, right?
Actually, with
him?
We came, we used to go to the same church a couple of months ago,
yeah,
but it was never consistently. But yeah, we decided whenever we had the child, we have Matthias, he's 5 months now.
Yeah.
He's just a blessing in our lives. We decided that we wanted to do the dedication and baptize.
Yeah.
And yeah, we started to come back to the church. We are trying to be more consistent, but yeah, it was pretty fun. And there was other people doing that and we felt together. And yeah, church is a place that, I don't know, just bring good things. And
yeah,
we met each other there. It creates connection from places that we wouldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, there's connection. And when we're all doing kind of the same thing. I hear you on the consistency part because my daughter, Noah, she likes to nap right when church starts. So it's like she's going down for a nap. Church is starting. And it's like, well, do we go? Do we not? What's the, you know, so I totally understand that. When Kyle, who is our pastor, mentioned that we're going to do a baby dedication, he mentioned that there's five couples. And I'm counting on my hands. I'm like, I know four of them. Who's the fifth one? Is you guys. So that was cool to connect there. And was a really...
We're kind of an outsider. Sometimes you go, sometimes you don't.
That's totally fine.
Yeah. Kyle actually did our wedding. So,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing we have in common because he did mine.
I think you told me, yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's a special thing. I don't know how many weddings he's done. He's done some. I mean, you're a pastor. You got to do some, but it's cool to do that. Did you guys do your wedding here in Goshen?
We did at the 6th Street.
Oh, yeah.
Where Kevin Cook.
Yeah, the Chouse.
Father. Yeah, the Chouse.
Yeah.
We did it right there.
That's a gorgeous place to do it.
Yeah, it was very special. And my father and mother, they came from Brazil to here.
That
was very special.
So it was probably smaller.
Yeah, it was a very small.
More intimate.
More intimate.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's interesting because we got married in 2021. And it was a very small wedding too, because it was middle of COVID and we were like, we could do a big wedding. We could, but I really want to plan it. So it was just our families and I'm so thankful we did that. You know,
did you make people mad?
I think because of when it was, people understood.
Okay.
You know, I think if it was 2019 and we did that, people wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's just difficult to please everybody, but.
Yeah. Right? That's life.
That's life, yeah.
When did you guys get married?
22, November.
Okay.
28th.
So right after you graduated, basically?
I was still a student and soccer player. I was
really?
Playing. Actually, I had a game right after it. So it was a Friday.
No way.
And then we didn't go to honeymoon right after.
You went to go play your game.
I had to play my last game ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then you went on your honeymoon?
And then we went to the honeymoon. Nice. We went to Chicago and spent some days there.
Did you win?
No. My career as a soccer player has been very difficult.
Yeah.
And that day was pretty difficult too. It was like, if we scored one goal, we would have went to the playoffs for the first time since 2018.
Wow.
And there was a ball that we hit the post. And because we didn't score that goal, we didn't go to the...
It was
that close.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, let's back it up. So how did you get to Goshen College? Because you told me a little bit of the story, but you're from Brazil, and how do you get to, you know, almost going to the playoffs at last? You know what I mean? Like, what's that story?
Yeah, so as a high school student, I didn't care as much as about studying. I wanted to play soccer, and that was my life. And I just... Whenever I was finishing high school, I had to decide, okay, or I'm going to try to be professional or I'm going to study. Mm-hmm. And the third option came is if you go to the United States, you can study and get a full tuition or a good scholarship to do both. And yeah, I started to study in English and I got...
Was that was accepted. In high school?
Yeah, when I was 17, 18.
Okay.
Yeah, when I finished high school, actually, I started to study English, and I went to another city. There was a soccer complex that I lived there for 8 months.
Wow.
We used to practice twice a day and study English twice a day.
Wow.
So it was very intense, and it was amazing because everybody was with the same goal,
yeah,
to come to the U.S. And fun fact, now I have a friend that we came together to U.S. He went to Minnesota, okay, and I went to Virginia first,
okay,
to junior college. And now we both are in Goshen.
No way.
But yeah.
How did he get here? Well, yeah, okay. No, yeah. We have 1,000 stories we could run down.
Yeah, but yeah, I went to Virginia to a junior college called Richard Bland of William & Mary.
Okay.
It's 45 minutes away from the capital, Richmond.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Richmond.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out there. Yeah.
The weather is much better than here.
It's because you got the ocean, man. It kind of like keeps it all somewhat same. You know what I mean? There's that body of water that heats it and cools it, but yeah.
But yeah, when I came to the United States, it was a huge hit. Cultural differences and the difference on the language. It was very difficult to express yourself in another language.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that I have internationals that were in the same boat as me.
Yeah.
I had other Brazilians that helped me understand how everything worked in the college. But yeah, I had a very good time. I stayed there a year and a half. I think I grew so much in terms, yeah, of playing soccer, in terms of going to classes. I remember the first week I went to classes and I was doing a psychology class in English.
Oh, wow.
How can I understand what's going on?
Yeah.
But I survived. I got all C's on my first semester.
Wow.
I passed. But yeah, and then the first season that I played at Virginia was my best season of college ever. We, wow, went to the semifinal of the playoffs. We finished second on regular season, and I had an amazing season with so many assists. I played as a left back, so
okay,
always going down the line and crossing the ball.
Oh, wow.
And I got to know in my first semester a player called Tomás da Fonseca, and then he transferred to Goshen.
Okay.
So when I arrived at Goshen College... Sorry, I arrived at the United States in January of 2018.
Okay.
So that's a spring.
Yeah.
So I got to know some people that left because they just finished their second year.
Yeah.
So I got those guys, and then I got a new bunch of people coming the fall.
And then you're kind of the older person,
yeah,
at that point. Yeah.
Right. And another thing that I didn't tell, the coach that recruited me to this junior college, he left whenever I arrived. 2 weeks that I was there, he left to go to a D1 school.
Oh, wow.
He was Brazilian. That's why he recruited me.
Wow.
So I arrived and he left. And then we didn't have a coach for the whole spring season.
Oh, my word.
So that was...
You came in halfway through the year, yeah, basically. Okay.
So it was a mess.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I got to know Tomas, mm-hmm, and he came to Goshen. He got recruited. I don't know how, but he got recruited. And then I had that connection. So I played the fall and the spring with the Virginia college,
mm-hmm,
and then he said, hey, Goshen College just changed their head coach and we need players. I have a left back, a Brazilian left back. So that's how the connection started.
Wow. And then you just played really well, so they probably were like, okay, let's snag this guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because you guys have just gone to the semifinals or whatever. Yeah, as you said.
And then they offered me a full tuition and I couldn't.
Oh, you can't say no to that.
I can't say no to that.
Yeah.
And I came. 2019, wow. August.
So then... You did 3 years at Goshen College because you did 1 year.
Four seasons.
Okay.
From the fall. Yeah. Because of COVID, we got another season. So it was four seasons. And then the fifth season as an assistant coach.
Wow. That was 2023?
Yeah. 2023. Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. Was it a little bit of a cultural shift as well going from Virginia to Indiana?
It was. In a good way.
Okay.
Because in Virginia, people are not as friendly in terms of international students as Goshen. Goshen, when
really?
I came to Goshen, everybody just loved that I was Brazilian international.
Yeah.
Played guitar, played soccer, and everybody knows Pelé.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And everything related to Goshen was, Goshen became my home.
That's cool. Where are you from at in Brazil?
São Paulo,
okay.
Huge city. There's it's a bigger city than New York.
Oh, wow. Is that the one where they have the statue?
No, that's Rio.
Rio, yeah.
That's the
capital, right?
No, the capital is Brasilia.
Oh, really?
Brasilia.
Really?
Yeah.
But Rio
was the capital hundreds of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Yeah, that's iconic.
It is.
Yeah.
Rio is special.
Yeah. So you grew up in that city, basically, from, you know, 1 to 18, yeah. Basically.
Yes, yeah, I did. And I had my parents got divorced when I was 2, so I grew up with my mom most of my life. And, yeah, I went to see my father in the weekends. And
yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, always in São Paulo, playing soccer, playing video games with my friends. I had a very good childhood.
That's awesome.
And going to the beach whenever we went to travel. But, yeah, I can't say that I experienced the good part of Brazil, but Brazil, yeah, there are a lot of bad things too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think you can find that in any place too, right? You know, I'd assume. But what's that like going from a huge city bigger than New York to now Goshen, that it's a little bit smaller town, just a tad bit smaller.
Yeah, but yeah, in Virginia was even smaller.
Okay, yeah,
our campus was in the middle of nowhere, so
couldn't
walk to places. It was in the middle of farms. So
wow.
And international students, we didn't have cars.
Yeah.
We were stuck on the college 24/7.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
that is a culture shock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, I was 18, 19, so we were doing some things that we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that just, yeah, as an international student in the US, we just bond together in a way that it's just so difficult to explain, because
yeah,
we are in the same boat. We don't have our families here. We cannot leave.
Right.
So
Thanksgiving,
we just stay together and just play video games or play soccer or
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's tough. It's tough, but it's also like cool to have that connection too with the different people.
Yeah. And then just hanging out with the boys every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to class.
Well, it's probably part of that connection allowed the build those relationships to come to Goshen. It's crazy when you look back and see the tapestry of how all this stuff plays together.
Yes, it is. Right. And then Tomas came to Goshen. And
right.
And I came to Goshen.
Right.
His brother came to Goshen.
No way.
So I played with both of them.
Wow.
And both of them were goalkeepers.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. So.
And then.
Go. Yeah.
When COVID hit, and then 2021, COVID was still a thing, and the airports were shut down. And then I was playing soccer in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were done with the season, I was looking at tickets for Portugal, which was like $200.
Oh, wow.
And then I went there. I have an uncle there that lives in Lisbon.
Okay.
And then I went to the house of Tomas and Matias. And yeah, we hang out.
No way. So you got to actually. Because flights were super cheap during COVID.
Were crazy cheap.
Yeah. Wow, so you're like, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to go visit you guys. That's so sick.
Yeah, so we create that connection that I really went to their country and even visit their home.
Wow. Do you, are they still in Goshen or are they now elsewhere?
No, they're both back in Portugal.
Wow.
Matias left, yeah, January, okay, December. And actually Matias helped me create Goshen CDFC. He was my right arm. And he was the goalkeeper for Goshen City. He was Tomas and Matias are a big part of my career life. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. How did that all kind of come together? Because that's really got some fuel behind it. Like, things are, it's moving. It's shaking.
Moving.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell me a little bit. I mean, it probably comes from being, you know, from Goshen College and then also being assistant coach, but I'd love to hear how all this kind of came together.
Yeah, so as a student athlete, when summer comes around, you want to play. You don't want to just sit around and don't do anything. So most players in the high level, they play summer leagues. And it wasn't different for me. Some international students, they come back to their country, but lots of international students, they want to keep playing and getting better and getting better and maybe become professional. That was my dream.
Yeah.
So I had to, in Virginia, I played in a summer league in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing experience. And then I moved to Goshen. And then Goshen, there's nothing close by.
Mm.
So I had to go to Ohio to play.
Wow. Where in Ohio?
Dayton.
Like Dayton?
Dayton, Ohio.
So you got to drive 2+ hours.
No, it was 4 hours, but they offered free housing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For some players that were
higher enough level.
Yeah. Enough level. And yeah, that was the best experience of my life. They played in a league that was top notch. And yeah, and when I, Goshen, there's so much soccer in Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
From high school to college to so many Latinos around. And even the Mennonite, soccer is so popular in Goshen.
Yeah.
From the 50s, the first team, I think, from Goshen College started in the 50s.
Wow.
And that's before...
Yeah, our time for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
I think yeah, before my parents' time. Yeah, it's...
So in 22, I was thinking, okay, I want to play again. It was my, I was a senior already.
Yeah.
And then a team came up in Ligonier called Fox United.
Okay.
And then I said, okay, let's try it. It's in a lower level than the other teams that I have played, but it's close by, 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. That's what I have, right?
Right.
I
want to. It's closer to Dayton, for sure.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that just graduated, and we are living together. I'm going to stay around and play local. And yeah, when I started to play with them, and I saw that the costs weren't that high, and then they didn't have a head coach, and they weren't managing the team. What I thought was... maybe I could do that in Goshen as well.
Yeah.
So that's where the idea came from the need to play locally.
And not having the option.
And not having the option. And the option that we had wasn't the same level that I thought I would like to.
Yeah, or that you had experience in Dayton and elsewhere. You've experienced a lot higher levels. So you're like, okay, well, why not bring that to Goshen?
Yeah, and right? Then when I dove deep, and then that was just a moment thought, and then I just started to dive deeper and deeper in this rabbit hole. And I did, you know how Google is nowadays. You can Google anything and you learn so much just by Googling for
right.
hours.
Right.
There's
so much information.
So much information there. So I just got to know, okay, that's not too expensive. So yeah, that's how the idea came.
Yeah.
And
this at this point you were, so this is right as you're ending college, right?
This is right. Yeah, I should graduate in the spring of 22.
Okay.
But then I decided, okay, I'm going to come back for my last dance 23.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. 22, fall 22. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I played at Fox United in the spring of 22, and then I was deciding, should I play one more year in Goshen, should I not? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to play the last time with my friends, 22. And yeah, so, and then while I was playing from... March, April of 22, spring of 22, I started to have those ideas of Goshen City FC. And yeah, the whole summer I started to put the project together. I started to go to my business professors and say, hey, what do you think about this idea? How can I make this better?
Hmm.
And they helped me build a very solid project.
Yeah.
In all the areas.
Kind of the plan to the strategy.
And the main target was, how can I be attractive to sponsors? Because I don't have money.
Right.
I need to raise money.
Yeah, to a college kid, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to raise $15,000.
Wow.
And
wow.
And that's not too much, but for a college kid, it's too
yes.
much.
Yeah, it's not enough for you to do on your own. I mean, you could do it. It'd be very tough, but it's also not out of grasp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my whole project was towards, okay, let's focus on how to make it profitable, not profitable, to be attractive to sponsors. And yeah, and I think just... I am a religious person, but not too much. I'm mm-hmm. still trying to find that within me. But I believe that God just pushed me. Hey, go this way.
Well, I'm sure the idea too. Like
the idea too.
The idea out of nowhere. And you're like, you start going down it. And it starts to flow together. And it starts to build.
And the more I dove deeper, I saw, that's a freaking good idea.
Yeah.
Can you curse here? That's a fucking good idea.
Yeah, you can. You can curse here. Yeah, you're more than welcome.
More than welcome. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then I talked to the business professors, to my coaches, and then I went to the athletic director. Everybody was loving it.
Right.
Then I
wow.
went to the president of Goshen College. That's the highest.
Right.
That could go. And she loved it. She said, oh, that's a very good idea. We are focusing on community with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, I'm going to put you in contact with the mayor, with those key people in town that know soccer. So, like, she just made my life so much easier in terms of knocking on doors that people wouldn't
enter. She opened them up for you.
She opened them up for me.
Wow.
And then I went to the mayor. That was Jeremy Stutzman.
Yep.
And he loved the idea, and he wanted to be a sponsor. And then he just connected me with...
Yeah, he opened some doors, too. That's awesome.
He did. And Jim Alvarez.
Yeah.
he connected me with Everence.
Yeah.
And Everence was the first business that said, okay, let's bet on this guy that have this crazy idea.
Yeah.
Because that was it. I had a good idea, but I was just a student, international right. student that played soccer.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So they were the first one, which then probably gave you some weight to be like, hey, I have a sponsor. Would you consider sponsoring as well? And they're like, well, oh, Everence is in it. And Everence is known, especially in the Mennonite community. Yes. Like, they are well known in this area for sure.
Yes. And yeah, even a little before Everence, when you have the mayor of the city trying to pull some strings, I had meetings with Lippert.
Wow.
And I had meetings with, Intera. And Intera sponsored us for the first year. This year, they're not sponsoring us. Maybe, hopefully in the future, they will come back. But yeah, Lippert almost closed the contract with us, but they said, it's too risky. We don't know what's going to happen.
Right. So, well, yeah, they got to see the attendance. They probably see all the...
And I understand that too, right? But yeah, I was very blessed to have all of this happening.
Wow.
While I was playing, while I was getting married, while my life was happening.
Yeah.
But this business was just going crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you secure the $15,000 needed to start?
I secured much more than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then that gave you the capital to get the ball rolling, basically, right?
I got the capital to do a freaking amazing job. Amazing project.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So, and I had to conquer Goshen College's trust as well in terms of letting me play on their facility, letting me practice on their facility. So, yeah. So the first year was a little bit tough for lots of reasons because I had to prove to everybody that I was worth
capable,
the trust,
right?
Capable, the trustworthy, that I'm not going to damage their image because they're putting their image on my club.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting. And I understand that too. I would be skeptical a little bit on trusting a person that I don't even know.
Right. Right. And you haven't seen the work yet.
Yeah.
Right. You haven't seen the product yet.
You know this person as a person, but not as a business person, a businessman or entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. A good person doesn't mean it's a good business person.
Right. Right. That's so true. That's the takes a different caliber of person to be able to the quality of person doesn't always dictate the fact that they're going to be able to be successful.
There's so many assholes that are amazing businessmen.
Yeah.
And they're good businessmen because they're assholes.
Yeah. There's so many nice people who you don't want them to run your business. Right. Yeah, exactly. It goes both ways. Right. So you get the capital. Do you start then recruiting people or are you assembling a team of people or how'd that start working out or what?
I saw the project as in two fronts.
Okay.
On the field and off the field.
Okay.
And of course, on the field, I'm not going to be a head coach. I consider myself playing, but not being a head coach.
Okay.
So I had to hire somebody to be that person. And I consider some people. Yeah. And then I considered one person and this person said, okay, I'm down for it. And I trusted this person. But then in the end, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The person said, actually, we're not going to do it. And Tyler messaged me, hey, do you have a head coach? And then, I entered in a meeting with Tyler and just clicked. Mm. And Tyler is our head coach. He played for Goshen High School. He played for Goshen College. In 2014, he was the state championship champion with Goshen High School.
Wow.
The soccer team. He was the only one ever, that team. But, he was the head coach for Ancilla College.
Okay,
junior college in Michigan.
Ancilla, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a brand new coach, and I said, okay, let's go. I'll trust you, and you're going to just lead this project.
And clicking, too, is a thing.
It is.
You know, if you can work with that person, that makes sense. Is he still the Ancilla College coach as well, or is he now full-time?
No, so he was the head coach for a season, and then he went to Grace College to finish his...
No way.
Start his master's degree.
Okay, so that's at Grace now.
Yeah, he's at Grace now.
Okay, that's where I graduated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pretty close by.
Yeah, not far at all.
Not far.
Yeah.
Their soccer team is very good.
Okay, yeah.
Extremely good.
I went to like two soccer games. Their basketball was where I would go, but they were... Yeah, they've got good teams for sure. Yeah, they're... Yeah. Big into that.
Goshen College needs to match them.
Yeah, Goshen College's basketball team, I don't think has the hype that Grace did. But anyways, yeah. I have a friend who's on the Goshen College basketball team now, and we've talked about that. So,
yeah. And I'm the assistant coach of the men's soccer team for Goshen College.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Would you say, I mean, when it comes to Goshen College soccer games, is that pretty well attended?
It is. It is the main sport. I would say it's the main sport.
Yep.
Even though we don't give it back to the fans as we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. They support us like crazy, even though we are losing most of the games. And it was pretty difficult as a player.
That's frustrating.
It is. Yeah. But we loved it. And after every game, we went and clapped and we said, hey, thank you very much. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
To have fans.
To actually have you
because
guys supporting
us. We played against colleges that have zero people. They have like five people, just the girlfriends of the guys.
Right. Yeah.
Playing against.
And that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to be grateful for Goshen College to have, hundreds of people attending the soccer game.
Yeah.
That's but awesome. Yeah, so I was telling that Tyler just clicked with me, and then he was the head coach. And then in the first season with Goshen City FC, we reached the final of the conference.
Wow.
And we didn't expect that at all.
Right. And you came out of the gate like running, bro. Holy cow. Yeah.
Came out of the gate like crazy. And yeah, Tyler led the boys. I was the assistant coach. I had another assistant coach that now is a player, Tim.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just a crazy first year because it was so successful off the field with all the sponsors, all the buy-in from the community that we didn't talk to it about yet.
Yeah.
We are still talking about how I was planning the
right
the head coach and off the field stuff. But yeah, Tyler was the guy and I trusted him and we went from there.
Wow. So yeah, you said you broke it off of two fronts, on the field and off the field. So I do have more questions about on the field, but let's talk a little bit about off the field. So you've got some sponsors secured. You've raised more than $15,000. What was the business plan or what was the strategy when it came to off the field, promoting, all that stuff? Like how'd that start to play out?
Yeah, I think the biggest things was we needed to secure a home stadium and a place to practice. And of course, the logistics of playing, practicing, traveling, there's so much involved on everything related to that.
Do you have a bus? Do you rent a bus? Do you guys all just drive your cars to the, you know what I mean?
So there were some games like logistics. One game we went to Springfield, Illinois, mm-hmm. It's 5 hours away.
Yeah.
We rented a bus
mm-hmm.
and there was another game that we went to Wisconsin, 5 hours away again. We were in a minibus. It's a van.
A
van.
Yeah.
But it was too expensive. So what I figured out is we're going to carpool and I'm going to help the boys with gas.
Yeah.
And after the games, whoever came to travel for an away game, we're going to feed them after the game.
Nice.
Because the experiences that I had with the other teams in the highest level, they cover everything. The players just go there to do the job.
Right.
Play, win the game, secure the win, and come back home.
Yeah.
That's professional.
Right? Yeah.
And I wanted to recreate that as much as I can. And it is pretty expensive to recreate that.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I did the project as professional as I could towards the players and towards the community. I wanted to connect with the community. We were a sponsor in the lowest level to the first Friday.
Oh,
we
cool.
We went there to volunteer our time. We volunteered our time to Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. What first Friday did you go to? Was it a summer one?
It was April, May, and June.
Okay. Because I remember walking downtown. It was probably 2023. And there were people playing soccer. It was summer.
Yeah.
And it was like downtown during First Fridays. And there's like some goal thing that you were trying to hit.
That
was that
us.
You guys? No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first. And the project is only me, right?
Right.
Off the field.
Right.
It was only me. So I embraced that the highest level I could. So the first Friday we did was April. And I said, okay, we're going to have a booth. We're going to give flyers away. And I'm going to be on downtown. With Washington and the main street,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be right in that corner juggling the ball with the Goshen City jersey, orange. Everybody's going to see me.
Right.
He's going to think, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And Yeah, I was just juggling for 2 hours, 3 hours.
No way.
People stopped by and say, hey, and then I tell them who I was. Some people knew me.
Yeah.
And they waved.
And most people would probably looked at you, and you were just the marketing for you guys. Yeah.
Somebody had to be, and
yeah.
I was there juggling. And the Goshen Chronicles, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were recording, and yeah, it was a good way to put ourselves out there. And
yeah. I want to get I forget what the guy's name is, but him, the
Sahib.
Yeah, I want to get Sahib on the podcast.
He would love it.
So we've already been chatting a little bit. So
tú hablas español?
Yeah, me un poco.
Perfecto.
That's why I'm gonna get my wife, like I said, fluent.
Okay,
and she translates a little bit. So
she speaks English as well. So
yeah. So that's all good. In Goshen, this is like, if I don't, I only have, did you ever play Grand Theft Auto or any of those games where like, I only have half the map unlocked. Like I can only traverse in half, cause I don't know Spanish. I know a little bit, but now with my wife, dude, the whole map is open, bro. I go to any location. I can talk to anyone. It's so awesome having
it's
that.
Crazy.
It's a big blessing.
It's a very good example.
Yeah.
And I felt that way very much so. I didn't think that as a Grand Theft Auto type of thing, but connections are crazy.
Yeah.
I started to get to know. There's some, do you know Goshen Stars? They're a travel club, soccer club.
Around. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And the president of the club is.
Are they part of GSI?
GSA.
GSA.
They are partners, but they're separate.
They're separate. Okay.
Yeah.
So GSA is like the whole. Organization GSI, the Stars is like the travel team.
Sorry, there's GYSO.
Okay.
Goshen Youth Soccer Organization.
Okay.
There's GSA, Goshen Soccer Academy. That's a facility. That's an indoor facility.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
I'm thinking GYSO.
Goshen Stars.
And Goshen Stars.
GYSO is a Goshen college. They do lots of things with kids.
Right. Goshen Stars is the traveling team.
It's a travel team, soccer travel team. So it's
not associated with GYSO at all.
No, they are partners, but they're not associated.
They go in like. Recruit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I got to know the president of Goshen Stars even before doing all this soccer the Goshen City project. But he grew up in Brazil. He's Brazilian. He was born in Brazil. So he speaks fluent Portuguese. His whole family speaks Portuguese.
Oh, wow.
Millard Graber.
Okay. That's such a Mennonite last
name. Such a coincidence.
Both Miller and Graber are Mennonites, but Miller Graber is such a Mennonite name. I love it. Yeah.
And yeah, he helped me connect with so many people in town as well.
Wow. Yeah. To be that is cool. And then to have that connection. And it's like, hey.
And because, I don't know, the Mennonite culture is just people helping people. People trusting people.
Yeah.
If maybe I was in another small town.
It'd be different.
I wouldn't be able to pull that off.
How crazy is you got pulled into Goshen? Like, that's a little bit wild that it all pulls together. You want another beer?
No, I'm good. I still need to finish that.
Right. If you want one, just grab one.
Thank you. That's a good beer.
Yeah, I like it. They're based out of Indy.
Okay.
So, I like
But Goshen. In terms of connections, it's like Grand Theft Auto, GTA.
Yeah.
It's
the maps and the locking, huh? Yeah.
Yes. And I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Portuguese and Spanish are very similar.
Yes.
And I went to Argentina a couple of times with my parents. And
that's where my wife lived for 9 months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Buenos Aires?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
I love that city.
Yeah. She is.
They're crazy for soccer.
Bro, I am.
Did you go there?
I have not, but I want to go there now with their new president, Javier Milei. I've been following him, bro. He's nuts, man.
Is he?
Yeah, he's so nuts.
In which way?
He's, I think in a good way. Could be really bad. Oh, sorry. It could be really bad.
It's always good and bad.
Yeah.
Always very good and very bad.
He is cutting all of the government. He's just like, literally. He is a libertarian. So if you're familiar with politics at all.
Libertarian, what do you mean by that?
So you've got liberal and you've got conservative.
Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of the two spectrums that we live in here in America. Libertarian is almost like a third. It's almost like a triangle. I don't know if that makes sense. But libertarian is like, let me live in peace and you live in peace. Don't mess with me. I won't mess with you. Let's not have government involved at all. And so he's going in and cutting all programs. He's like, we don't need a Department of Education. We don't need a Department of this. And he's just cutting it all out. And so it's like, okay. But It's just fascinating to see, because for a long time, from my understanding, Argentina has been kind of bogged down and the currency has been deflated. And
yeah, it's a shit show.
Yes. And so he's like, I'm just going to just rip out the government because I think they're the ones that are clogging the cancer. And so it's a very...
Every country.
Yes. Yeah.
A third world country.
It's because the government just mooches off everything. They're sucking everything up. He's like, these buildings aren't beautiful. Why do we need a department of, you know, beautification of buildings? Like, he's just like, let's cut everything. So he did it. It's very drastic. So I'm excited to see how it works out. Yeah. Could be awful. Could be good. I hope it's good.
The problem of politics is you can never do anything alone.
Yeah.
You need to have the buy-in from the other politics.
Yeah. Politicians. Yeah. He's the president, though. So he got in, which is... Everyone, they weren't expecting that, and so now it's going to be a case study of what happens when someone comes in and just says, "Forget the government, let's cut it to the bare minimum." And so we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, but it's kind of got me excited like that. And El Salvador is another place I want to visit. That's a little different, but I'm big into Bitcoin, so it's cool to see them like as a country go all into Bitcoin, and they've really cleaned up their. The prison population as well. I don't know if you've seen any of that stuff.
No.
I'm plugged into some, like, just random things I'm plugged into. I'm like, this is so sick.
El Salvador and Bitcoin. That's mm-hmm. pretty yeah. random.
Yeah, it really is. But anyways, yeah, Argentina's really cool. And Allison, my wife, is like, we got to go back. And so I'd like to do that. I used to work at Minnow Travel, which
I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. They probably did some of the trips that Goshen College would go on. I know Goshen would have... what do they call it? It's like a 10-day cross-cultural experience. Yeah, I'm sure you didn't have to do it because you already had your cross-cultural experience coming to the United States, right?
You know what is an SST?
SST, yes. Yeah.
I feel like I'm a never-ending SST.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm diving deeper and deeper into American culture.
Yeah, you're getting the taste of it every single day. Yes. So the
and I married an American.
That's dude. Yeah, that's a SST right there for
right
sure.
There. Yeah. Another level.
That's crazy. Yeah. So when I worked at Minnow Travel, one of the trips that I always wanted to do was hike in Peru. And go do some of the, like those mountain. So, anyways, I've always wanted to go there, but
yeah, I would love that too.
Yeah,
Peru is very famous for their altitude, and mm-hmm. there are some teams soccer related that goes play in Peru or Bolivia, and
they train
play,
right,
and they play in the high, they have so high in altitude,
yeah,
that the ball moves faster.
Wow,
and they cannot breathe as good.
Yeah,
so the teams that are used to it get advantage of the teams that don't play like
yes
3,000 meters
mm-hmm.
Meters
yeah
yeah
above sea level above. Yeah,
and even though they're a shitty ass team, they're winning because they're
the home court advantage. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They do that in Denver. I know people train, not I don't know about soccer, but I know both football and MMA, they'll train in Denver at a higher altitude, and then when they come back down to sea level, they've got, yeah, it just is like exactly,
it's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So okay, I do have a question about, let's go back to the football club, how you started choosing who was going to play, because you know you assembled a team of people together that did go and totally like absolutely dominate. It's like do really well. So
the thing is, when we put it out there, Goshen College, we have a semi-professional soccer team.
Yeah,
you can imagine how the soccer community went crazy.
Right,
crazy,
in Goshen,
crazy.
Yeah,
everybody was sharing it. Everybody was in. Mostly the people that were connected with social media, Instagram, Facebook. It's not as trend
right.
as Instagram, and Instagram is our main platform to share content.
Gotcha.
Both of them, but Instagram is more powerful because the young adults mm-hmm. that are there. But yeah, so mm-hmm. when we posted, everybody was hyped up, and it was we hosted a tryout, and 110 people signed up for the tryouts. 80 people ended up coming to the tryouts. And
sounds about right. Yeah. Right. 110 people. Yeah, I'll do it. And then only 80 come out. But still, 80 is nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to cut it down to 40.
Okay.
And then we had to cut it down to 30.
Okay.
So we had a good 30 solid players.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. And it was the first team, for first year.
Right.
For the second year, now we have even bigger
audience. The reach. Yeah, people are a lot of people know
we
you.
We proved everybody that we are a solid team. We we reached the final of the conference.
Yeah.
And the final of the conference coincidentally was the round 32 of the Nationals of the UPSL. It's the league that we played. So we played the Nationals.
Wow.
On our first year.
Wow.
Nobody thought about it. That would be even reachable.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. So
it wasn't in your goal plan.
No. The goal plan was to finish, I think, sixth, so we can make it to the playoffs.
Wow.
We finished third, and we were able to host the playoff.
In Goshen. Wow. In Goshen.
But the team forfeit. They were from Illinois. Springfield, Illinois, so they couldn't make it because it was a Wednesday, 5-hour drive to work.
Yeah.
They couldn't make it.
That makes sense.
That's another thing about the region. We don't have enough semi-professional teams to make a conference just here.
Right. That's what I was going
to
ask.
Most of the teams, we had to travel 2 hours to play minimum.
Wow. Just to even be able to play. Just because it's probably Chicago area is a big place. You said Dayton. Do you guys go over Dayton or is it not that far?
No, that's pretty far. Okay. That's the Ohio Conference.
So is it mainly Michigan?
No, Michigan. None?
So it's just Chicago. Illinois? It's just Illinois.
It's just Illinois.
And a little bit
now
of Indiana.
We have two teams in Indiana, Northwest. North and West Indiana.
Okay.
So they're brand new.
Near
Gary.
Gary. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So which is still Chicago.
Yeah. Actually, Hammond, Indiana.
Yeah, I know Hammond. Which is also Chicago. Yeah, but it's literally
it's closer, a little closer.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Can we cut down?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we're back. All right.
All right, let's...
Yeah. Where were we?
I don't remember.
You're in the teams from Gary and...
Yeah, so, yeah, Hammond, we talked about. There's so many people, there's so many teams not even close to here, and now they're starting to pop up or whatnot.
Yeah.
But we were also talking about getting into the semifinals. You guys had the tournament at Goshen, they forfeited.
There's a quarterfinals. We couldn't. It would be so nice to host a quarterfinals here in Goshen. People would come like crazy. But before we talked about further, I would like to come back a little bit and talked about the first home game.
Yes.
Because the whole project, I worked more than a year, and the whole project was towards how to be attractive to sponsors. It comes down to home games. If I have thousands of people in the home games, of course, the sponsors will say, oh, that's amazing. I'm going to put money because my brand is going to be advertised.
Sure. Yeah, they can see it. Well, and you have the numbers then.
Yeah, to back it up.
Right.
Yeah, so the first home game, I didn't know what to expect because we didn't have the first... That was the first time ever that we would host a game.
Yeah.
And because... Coming back a little bit before to explain that, the season started with 4 away games.
Okay.
One of the home games that we should be playing in April, Goshen College said, hey, we cannot host any games in April because of our fields.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out. So we played.
Was it because it was wet and rainy and they didn't want people to mess up the fields?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no.
Okay. You don't have to get into I totally.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... So we played 4 away games. So the whole season, we were in the middle of the season, 4 games in. The 5th game was home. Only the 5th game. So we were building expectations and making posts, and people were getting to know the club.
Yeah.
And then May 6th was the home game.
2023.
Okay. And it was crazy because I was coaching in a club in Middlebury.
Okay.
Travel club. And I was in Indianapolis coaching the team. So I had to drive back like crazy. It was a whole mission to have the game day ready. And
yeah, all the stuff that goes into it. And you don't know what to expect, who's going to be here, how this is all going to run.
Yes, but I knew that lots of people would come.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many would come.
Right.
But when the game started, we had more than 500 people, 600 people in the stands. People didn't stop showing up. And that was crazy. And we were winning 5-0 in the first half.
Oh, wow.
That was like...
on top of the world.
Coming true. Yeah. Top of the world. And then I was in the stands with my wife. She was pregnant and was just watching the game. Just having fun. And that was one of the best days of my life.
Wow.
Just seeing all the hard work, the dream, or just a thought of opening a soccer club when I was a college student in my dorm.
Yeah.
And now...
We'll look at where you're at. Wow.
With the city, the college, a bank.
Yeah.
And 600 people in the stands. We won the game 8-0. First home game. Yeah. It's like crazy.
Wow.
And that was something that, and the kids, imagine the kids.
Yeah.
They were having a ball. They were having the best day of their lives.
Yeah.
They were remember that game forever.
When they did the away games, there was just the opposing team's fans.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'm going out on a limb, but I don't think there's probably 600 people at any of the games, you know.
No, we didn't play any game with
that many people.
With that many people. Not even close.
Yeah.
Only the semifinal that we played against Wisloka, it's a Polish team.
Oh.
They are crazy.
Really?
Yeah. They drink and they party and they do everything you can imagine. And yeah, the semifinal we played against them on their field. We played against them in our home too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tied. It was 1-0 for us until the end, and the referee gave like 11 minutes extra time. I don't know why. And they scored in the end. It was 1-1. It was the only game that we didn't win.
Wow.
It was the best game. They're a pretty good team.
Wow.
And we played in the semifinal on their field now, and we won 2-1.
Wow.
And they were mad.
Oh, I bet they were.
And there was a PK that the referee didn't give to them. Somebody kicked the ball on somebody's hand and the referee didn't give it. So they were so mad. They wanted to fight us. We had to call the cops for the referees to leave the stadium.
Wow.
And they had probably hundreds of people in the stand. More than 100 for sure. And it was such a nice, beautiful party before the game. And then in the end, they were just ready to fight.
Wow.
Bro, those Polish guys are crazy.
Dude, yeah.
And I come from the third world country, so I know exactly what happens, and that's just how
part
you
of the
learn
culture.
How you love your club, just ready to kill for your club.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was
cool. I've seen the
and that was those were the two highlights of the season: the first home game and the semifinal when we beat them on the we were going to the final in the first year.
Oh
we were
man,
like
the peak right there. That's
right there.
That's awesome.
Because we don't care if we win or don't. We are in the final.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do this.
We can do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen movies and stuff where, you know, clubs are going against other clubs and just beating the crap out of each other. I mean, there's like famous movies of like, I'm like, oh, that's it was UK. I think it was UK clubs.
The Hooligans.
The Hooligans, yeah.
And they were banned. That's something that for real happened.
Really, yeah.
In the 80s, they were banned from the international competitions because of their fans. They were killing each other.
Just going at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And in Brazil, they put on Facebook, hey, let's meet up and let's fight. Let's kill each other.
No way.
And they go there and they kill each other.
Oh, my word. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what.
Argentina, the whole Latin America is like that.
Yeah. 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 That's their life. That's
their
team.
Life. There's religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talk crap, you go down here, you're going to get punched in the face.
Well, and if your team loses, man, you're down in the dumps. For a while until your team wins. It's like it.
But then if your team wins and is the champions, you're in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you don't have a house.
Right. It doesn't matter. If your wife leaves you, dude,
yeah,
your
it
team
doesn't
is.
Matter.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. It is a religion. You're right.
It
yeah.
is.
So when you had that big of a home team or home game, did that garner more sponsorship or conversation because of that? Was that kind of like a, hey, this is what we can bring to the table?
Exactly. Yes. Plus the community services that we did, we said to our players, I had this idea. Every player will be required to do a community service. I don't have thousands of dollars to help the community, but I have 40 players here that will make a difference in the community if we go out there and put our hands to work and help out that way. So
yeah,
that too. And then bringing the travel clubs from this county to the game and walking with the kids before the games, and then halftime they play and then they interact with the players.
That's cool.
So the whole project was...
That's very integrated. Everything's kind of... And then they can see what they could do after college, after high school.
As I was doing this project, I played video games since I was a kid, creating my soccer club.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot about it. It's like you're a musician that you listen about this music, rock and roll, since you're a kid and you play guitar. Of course, you know lots of things, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So it was very natural for me because soccer is my life, is ingrained in my life so deeply that this just came natural.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just common sense. Okay, why wouldn't we connect with this youth? Right. Why wouldn't we give community service to the community? Why wouldn't we do those things?
Right.
But
and then the experience of playing in the summer leagues and being like, oh, this is what I liked. This is what I didn't like. Let's make sure that this has these aspects to make everyone. I mean, that those
on,
small
on
things.
And on and off the field.
Right.
I remember off the field, the team in Ohio.
Yeah.
We went to a shopping mall and we read books. Children books to children.
Oh, wow.
And we were like heroes for them. Superheroes.
Yeah.
And that was something that I would never expect to do, but because of a semi-professional club gave me the opportunity to do, and that just stays in your mind. I will never forget the day.
Right.
And I brought that mindset or that experience to this idea.
That's awesome. Yeah. So so you whittled it down to 30. And did those 30 stay for this year? And now you're building on top of those 30, or did some of them leave, or did you start from scratch again? Or like, what's this season looking like now since you've got one season under your belt?
I would say we raised the level.
Okay.
The barrier. So I would say half of the team stayed, but the other half couldn't make it. And that's just how life works, right? If you're not on the same level as the other guys, somebody will replace you and we'll do the job. And now we have more visibility, so more of the better players
want to play
for us. So that's just good overall.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're...
Well, and you guys went to the semifinals, right? So it's like... Finals. I'm sorry. You went to the finals and they're like, yeah, why wouldn't we want to play on that team?
Yeah. So we proved everybody on and off the
field. We beat that Polish team. Like, come on, why wouldn't you want to play for us? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we went to the final against the team that won 4 times in a row. And we did play against them already previous on that season. We lost 3-0 on their field. And we played the final on their field again. And the first half was 0-0.
Wow.
We were there. And we hit the post. But then they start scoring and it was 3-0 in the end. But
yeah.
It was amazing to see that we reached the final, but then the season is over. Like you worked so hard for that day, and then there's nothing after that.
Yeah,
it's a weird feeling. But there are so many fans from Goshen that drove to Chicago to watch us.
Wow, yeah.
So that was pretty.
That's kind of cool as well. Yeah.
So the project was very successful on and off the field, and yeah, it's crazy to even describe. And sometimes I don't want to...
A little bit of a roller coaster.
I don't want to sound cocky. Or
right, right.
In any way that I can, but it's just a reality that the project was so well in every aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy and proud and yeah.
Is same head coach as last year?
It is. Okay. Tyler Bourne.
What's your... Who is the... How old is the oldest player? How young is the youngest player?
I would say the oldest player is 26.
Okay.
Sam Marchi is a center back from England.
Okay.
He just graduated from... He's going to graduate from Goshen College this semester, actually.
Okay.
And the youngest... We have a high schooler from Goshen. He's still in high school. He's a senior in high school. He's a goalkeeper. Tomas from Goshen High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a couple of other 18-year-olds that are going to Grace. Yeah. Julian.
Okay.
So it's a big.
So it's kind of like in between. Yeah. Yeah. Are they all college, high school, or are there some of them that are just working and then playing?
Yeah. There are some that, you know, some the Latino population, some don't want to go to college.
Yeah.
And
which is fine.
Just go to a factory and make good money.
Yep.
And just
play football.
Hang out and play football and just live their lives. And yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
They are good soccer players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of my Latino friends, they play a lot in like the indoor facilities and they're playing all the time. And so it's surprising that there hasn't been a club. It's just been friends or pickup games or, you know what I mean? Like,
As I was doing the project, I was saying, how in the world we don't have a soccer team here yet?
Yeah. no one spearheaded it, man. That was that's.
We did have back in the day, but I think it was just for towards women.
Mm.
But it's pretty crazy. Yeah. How we don't have a soccer team. I mean, not only in Goshen, but in Elk County.
Right. Right.
I heard there's a lot of Latinos. There's a lot of soccer in Elk County as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Goshen is just a small piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. That's wild.
But the history of soccer is in Goshen.
Yeah. Because it started kind
of... I want to create a documentary about the history of soccer in Goshen.
Ooh.
Because that there's so much that I don't even know. I'm just a
yeah
outsider.
Yeah. You've come in and kind of seen a little bit.
And I'm diving deeper and learning and getting to know so many people. And I can see all this map. And what's going on? Yeah.
How do we tie this all together? How does this all tie together?
Yeah.
Right.
Because yeah. It seems like people are doing their own thing here in this town in mm-hmm. terms of soccer. That, yeah, we need to just bring everybody together and just work together.
What are your goals for this year? Like, I'm assuming already in, you're already playing.
We like, should have our first the home opener should be against Chicago Fire Academy.
Okay,
it's an MLS team.
Okay.
So that should be the best team that we would face Thursday, but it got rained out.
Oh,
we had
yeah.
to postpone it. So we didn't play any games yet.
Okay, so your
we
first
the only team in the conference that didn't play games yet.
Wow.
Our first we had a friendly game this Sunday.
Okay.
But it's not towards it doesn't count.
Yeah.
But our first game will be this Sunday in Hammond, Indiana.
Okay. Yeah, hour and a half.
And then we're going to play the second game away as well. In Chicago.
Okay.
So the third game is going to be the home opener for the league, May 4th.
Okay.
So it's going to be similar from last year.
Yeah.
The first home game will be the first weekend of May.
Here in...
Yeah.
And you guys are still playing at Goshen College?
Yeah, all games are going to be at Goshen College.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What is your guys' practice look like? Are you guys practicing multiple times a week, or like what's that look like?
Yeah, so we started practicing the beginning of March. So we practiced 4 weeks in March.
Okay.
Most of the practices were at Goshen High School and the turf field. Do you know the football field?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have soccer lines.
Okay.
But it does work fine for us. They have goals that we could bring. So, yeah, we practice there from normally four days a week.
Wow. Okay.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes it's Tuesday to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But normally... It's Tuesday to Thursday, so 3 days a week.
Okay. Yeah. So you do a couple more at the start, and then you kind of...
To catch up, because the winter, so many guys don't have a place to play and to get in shape, to stay in shape. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is the one thing about Indiana is the winter.
Yeah.
Is not...
And if you don't play high school or college in the fall, there's no place to play.
Yeah.
Other than Sunday leagues.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the league that we play, we could play spring and fall. That's how this league works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a semi-professional league. But we don't have facilities in when it comes to the fall. High school is in season. Goshen College is in season. They have men and women. And if we wanted to add Goshen City to that equation, that would...
Too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
And they're grass fields, so it damages the grass. If it's turf, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, if it's grass, then it's no good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there's other places that might be, that could open up. Because there is so much soccer in this area.
Yeah, we could go to South Bend. We could go to Napanee. They have a very nice facility.
Yeah.
Wawasee. They have
I'm thinking like GYSOs. They have fields, but they're probably
indoor.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
yeah.
Futsal.
Because I know there's fields. Kind of near the middle school that's it's not kind of a country road, but you see it. They've got huge lights. It's all outdoors. And then there's some over by the Walmart. I don't know if that's south of town, but yeah, I wonder if they may not have stands or,
but then it wouldn't make sense in terms of the off the field project in terms of bringing hundreds of people to the stadium.
Yeah. How do you get that? Yeah. If you can't, if they just are standing there, that's not the same as sitting and being part of the.
So
yeah.
As of now, it's just a summer type of thing.
That makes sense.
And it makes it more special because it's just once a year, 2-3 months of the year.
Right. Yeah, and everyone's like building up anticipation for it, and then it happens.
For the summer, like you're in the winter, and then the spring comes, and it's still cold. And when the summer breaks down, you can come to our games.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Kids out of the house.
Yeah, things are kind of awakening right now too in this area. Okay, so a question that's not football related. What's one of the biggest like cultural differences from going from Brazil to America? Like, what was one of those things where you're like, dude, what are they doing? Like, what? Why do they do this, and what are they doing?
Socializing.
Okay.
How people socialize. In Brazil, everybody says hi to each other, say greets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you see a person one day and you have a small conversation, you're waiting for the bus, like a public transportation in Brazil is huge.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something and the next day you say the person, you already have something going on there and say, hey, how are you doing? I remember you or something.
Yes.
Here in the U.S., I went to Virginia and that was so difficult to connect with Americans specifically just because of the culture shock. For Latinos were easier, for internationals was easier. But yeah, so yeah, there was some an episode that I was talking with this person and we had a good conversation for 20, 30 minutes. And the next day I saw that person and then we passed by and then I was waiting to say hi and this person just passed by.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That might be an East Coast thing.
I don't think so. I think
it's here too.
And you guys are different.
Yeah. I know. I've heard from people that East Coast, and this is a generalization, but they are a little bit more
closed
would be this. Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I come from a culture that is extremely open.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put in the spectrum, Brazil is in the end of the spectrum, extremely cool, and that can be bad for. If you see, Americans wouldn't like that. We'd greet people kissing each other in the cheeks.
Right.
And that could be.
Yeah, looked like, totally different here.
Yeah, totally different here.
Right.
But yeah, and there's a good story about me arriving in Virginia.
Okay.
And first week, and my friend brought me to the girls' apartments, the girls' rooms, and there were some boys, some girls, all soccer players, and I shake every boy hands and I kiss every girl's cheeks.
Oh, wow.
And I was the only one that did that because that's what we do in my country. And
yeah.
Nobody said, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, and so they're all kind of like looking at you.
And we laughed so hard after that. And that's a story to tell.
That happens. That's not that bad.
But yeah, so in terms of different cultural differences, yeah, it was very difficult to create that relationship with.
Well, and I could see that too. If you're so used to like, I mean, I've been there. I'm a very open person too. So I totally understand when I see
you. You are in the end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
an American.
I am. And I get told that by other Americans because it's like, I went to high school with this guy. I've not seen him for 12 years. And I see him in the grocery store. I'm going to go say, hey, how you doing? Da, 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 da.
Nobody.
And they're like walking the other way because they don't want to talk to me because they don't know what to say. You know, and me, I'm like, yo, what's up? How's it going? You know, that's me. And I get kind of made fun of it for that sometimes by other of my friends because they're like, dude, don't. Why would you do that? But I can imagine if that's your whole culture and then you come, it would almost be like very rude. I would have been offended if someone that I just talked to for 20 minutes doesn't even look at me, just walks past. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, why do you hate me?
Yeah, and I was 18. So
yeah.
I'm still learning what life is about. I'm still learning now. But when I was 18, I just knew what Brazil was.
Right.
And coming here, and it's a huge shock.
Yeah.
Food, it's a huge shock as well.
Really? Yeah. What was?
We eat so much healthier.
Oh, yeah.
Than here.
I think everyone.
It's a tropical country, so we have abundance of fruits.
Yeah.
Fresh fruits, fresh veggies, anywhere, everywhere. Here, it's a little bit more difficult because of the weather, because how the economy works, the companies, it's much more profit.
Yes.
In terms of quality.
Yeah, there's not very much quality.
Yeah. But you cannot grow a pineapple in your backyard.
Yes,
in
that's
Brazil,
true.
You could.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes how
bananas.
Yeah, yeah, we don't have any of that. Like, it's in the bananas that I've had my whole life is just one type of banana. I know there's different varieties and
oranges. Yeah. In Brazil, there's
tons,
hundreds of different types of oranges.
That's That's frustrating because I love citrus. But yeah, we only have one type of orange.
And the ones that are ripe here is not as near as good as the ones that you take from the tree.
Right. Well, I garden. My wife and I garden. We love gardening. And one of the things that we grow a lot in this area in our yard, in our garden, is tomatoes. And so I love the variety of tomatoes I can grow because I'll grow some that are purple. You know, I've got green and red, these reds and orange and small, large, and like they look like a pear. You know, but you're right. You walk into the store and it's one type of orange. And it's always been one type of orange my whole life. It's like, that's the orange.
Yeah.
You know, and that when I lived in Florida for a year, we had tangelos. We had a lot great for, like, they had tons of different mixes of oranges. So I got to taste a little bit more of those ripe different types, but probably not even to the level that's in Brazil, you know.
Yeah. Florida, probably the weather is
much better. Yes. Very tropical.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, it's interesting too. People, and it's weird because, like, here we have these forests, you know, and you're seeing the seasons. I love the seasons.
That's something we don't have in Brazil.
Yeah, and that's what I realized when I was in Florida. It's like, man, I miss the seasons. Like, I miss the spring as everything's coming alive, and then the fall when it's all red. And I just growing up with it, I love it. And so when I was away from it for a year or two, I'm like, coming back, I almost got a little, like, teary-eyed when I came back to Indiana to see. I'm like, oh, here's trees. Like, it felt home for me because I've lived here for so long.
Yeah.
What was winter like when you... When you first experienced it, and you said it was different from Virginia to here, but what was it like here? At both. First time you experienced it, which I'm guessing was in Virginia, and then what's it been like living?
It's always difficult.
Yeah.
But when you're with the boys and you're 18, 19, you make the best out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's not enjoyable for me. I like to be outside. I like to an outside person completely. I'm very social, and winter is just depressing.
Yeah.
Extremely depressing. You cannot just go for a walk or for a bike ride or to see a friend or... Yeah, there are so many barriers to make that happen.
Yes.
And summer is just, you're in your flip-flops, t-shirt, shorts, and then you're out.
You go run, bike.
Do anything.
Yeah, there is so
much
more.
Go to Gibico and watch live music.
Yeah. That's a great Wednesday move.
Right?
We do that. We really
enjoy
it. In
the winter, it's inside.
Yeah. You need a ski.
I love it.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not an every week thing.
Right, and it's expensive. And I know for me, when the winter comes, I have to take a walk every day. So I do it in the winter. I don't do it every day. But that's one of the things that helps me get through winter because it is so easy just to stay inside and stay in a cave. I feel like my house is a cave. I call it cabin fever. And there's a reason for that. You just feel like you're itching
Never
to get out.
It.
Yeah.
Cabin fever?
Cabin fever. Yeah. It's you're stuck in the cabin. You're stuck
you're
in the
cave.
Yeah. Going crazy. And so... I love that there's paths nearby here, so I go and take a long walk, and I want my face to get like almost like red from just being outside in the cold, and that's how I know, okay, I'm doing okay. But it's
tough.
Yeah,
that's not for me.
Yeah.
That's not for me for a Brazilian.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put on 6 layers of clothes, and it's not easy, and driving is not fun.
3 socks, 2 sweatpants.
Yeah. If you get the right clothes, it's not too bad, but it's an investment.
Yeah, so winter is not enjoyable.
Yeah.
But like everything in life, you give more value to the summer when you don't have the summer.
Right. It's kind of like the football league, right? Yeah. You have those 3 months. It's like, dude, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, that's Indiana. You only have 3 or 4 months, and then it's like, all right, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
It is.
Dude, I'm out of questions, bro. We're at an hour and 10 minutes. So
okay.
It's been pretty solid.
It's been pretty solid.
Thank you so much for coming on here and hanging out and chatting. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure to just talk about it. I love when we talked about, I don't know, it's just... I think most people like when they talk about their projects themselves, their families, and just dive deeper because we never do that, right?
Right.
Normal people, I'm a normal person. Nobody just dives in into my life, and I love telling my stories. And I know most people that come here, they love doing that too, right?
Yes, they do.
Have you ever had somebody doing that to you?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I've had a couple interviews, but not the same. Not the same. Yes, kind of.
Okay. Isn't that nice?
It is nice, though. Yeah. When you have knowledge on something and you're passionate about it and you get to sit there and talk about it and the person's actively listening. Yeah. And I love to listen. That's one of the things is like actively listening, hearing it, and then asking more questions about it. And I don't know anything about football, you know, and then I get to learn how this club came about. Like now I've got that information in my database.
Yeah.
And so
are you going to start a soccer club and be my competitor?
No. But anyone who's interested in soccer, I'm going to be talking about you.
Yeah.
Cause now I have info about it. And so that's the way I do. I'm a connector. I love talking. Like I'm not at the level of Jeremy Stutzman or Jim Alvarez, right? Cause they've been here for forever. They've got their roots. But I'm there where I'm talking to people and
you have your roots.
Yeah,
as
different.
As much as them, but differently. Yes.
Just not as much time as they have, because they're way older than me. But yeah, but
you cannot buy that.
Yeah, I can't. I could try, but yeah, someday I'll be at the same.
And you're doing a fantastic job. Yeah. I just got to know you personally, but yeah. I can see that you're doing a good job in terms of connecting with the people and yeah, just diving deeper to the community of Goshen.
Dude, thank you. It's weird because it's people who are running in my circle. I feel like I have like a sphere, like a circle around me, and like people just kind of come into it. I'm like, bro, let's talk. And it's just like, people who have conversation. I'm like, this is interesting. Let's come talk about it. And this is a great place to do it. And you're taking a memory. We've talked for an hour and we have this memory now that's like sealed that everyone else can listen to too. It's very weird what it is, and it's fun to kind of do it. This is also Mike, you play guitar, right? And that's a creative outlet for you, I'm sure. Like it probably unwinds your mind in a way or helps you just get out. It's like art, you know. Yeah. This is, I feel like, somehow part of my way of being creative. I don't draw, I play a little bit of music, but this is like my way of like creating something. I enjoy it. So
yeah, that's very nice. Do you know Abraham? He's a musician, local musician.
Yeah.
Did you?
I just had him on. Yeah. So he.
I think I saw it.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. He is so creative. He's been on my podcast 3 or 4 times. So we've been friends. Ooh. He was at that party I was telling you about with my bathroom. Okay. Ooh. Wasn't in the bathroom, but he was like, we're good friends and we've hung out for a long time. Yeah, he was my first really large podcast. The biggest podcast I did when I first started back in 2019, when I started releasing him in 2019, his episode got like 200-300 listens. And we did a thing for one of his albums called Yellow Season. And we had the party here as well.
Oh.
So it was a listening party. We watched a documentary about how he made it. Like, you know, maybe 100 plus people came. And then we all listened to the album because we had not listened. He hadn't released it yet. So it was just like this like pop, you know, it was like the home game kind of for his music. And so I've had him on a lot. And what I love about him is he thinks like 6 steps ahead. And not everyone can catch up with him, but I see where he's at and I understand what he's saying and I'm able to tie it all together sometimes. And
in terms of what?
Like explaining like he's saying this, this, and this, and he's making this connection to this connection.
In terms of songwriting?
Songwriting and life and visuals all in one. And then I can understand what he's saying. So I'm like, oh, it's like this. He's like, dude, that's exactly what it's like. And so I really love when he's talking, I'm understanding what I'm listening and understanding. And so I love chatting with him. But yeah, Abe's awesome. Abraham Medellin.
Yeah. I got to know him 2020 when COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then I had a band actually with a girl.
Really?
College. Yeah.
Okay.
Her. And then, yeah, we wrote some songs and we were about to perform on Kickoff. And yeah, I was playing on the Sketchy House. Do you know Sketchy House?
Yes.
Some parties there. It's right at the college. There is a.
Yes.
See?
He played there a couple times too, right?
Yeah. And then I was getting to know some people and the Mennonites, and they were hanging out there. I went to hang out there, and then he was playing guitar there and say, hey, I'm a musician too. And then we clicked there, and Yeah, I never got to know him like very good, but right. Yeah, it was always like, oh, I know you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome, dude. Yeah, I never went to any of the house parties where they would do music at that house, but I would see it and I knew of it. I just never got to get to one of them.
And now it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I think weren't they renting it out to college students or something? And then
yeah, they were, but
it switched.
Got bought.
Flipped. Yeah. They probably sold it when it was. Yeah. Peak.
So a person that didn't even know that what was happening on that.
Yeah, the art that was being created. There's a lot of house.
Or the floors are moving.
Oh, yeah. When we did his Yellow Season reveal, I thought the floors were going to break it. The way that it was just... Yeah. That's such a... I love that type of live... Yeah, that live music. GBCO's awesome, but it's not the same as being in someone's house intimately and just like going hard. Like... There's something so cool to that, you know. There's small house shows.
Beer popping. Helps.
Beer, yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes it. You can feel the music better, so much better with a little bit of beer. Yeah,
you get a mile ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where can people like at the end of the show? Usually, I let people plug anything. So May 4th at Goshen College is your guys' home game. First home game this season. What time is that?
7 p.m.
Yeah, okay.
And every information, yeah. Just if you follow our Facebook, Instagram, you're up to date with everything. But there, we have our website, GoshenCityFC.com. Yeah, it's not easy to find information about the team.
Yeah, yeah. I'll post the links as well in the comments below so people can go and check it out.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and it was very fun to share the little knowledge I have about soccer.
Dude, yeah. Yeah. I love that you took this thought and it's like you crushed it. You like dominated it. You did so well, bro. So it's cool. It's cool to hear it from like where it is to where it's now. And yeah, you should definitely be proud. You are proud, but you should definitely be proud, bro. So
thank you.
Yeah. Enrique, man, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Timon.
Timon, yes.
There we go.
Or whatever. It doesn't matter. Guys, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace out. Bye.